WHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Israeli military confirms it's begun a ground offensive in Gaza City with the goal of wiping out Hamas. Reporter Linda Gradstein from Jerusalem.
Israel has ordered all Palestinians in Gaza City to evacuate to safe areas in the south in advance of a large Israeli operation. But reports from Gaza say hundreds of thousands of Palestinians remain in Gaza City.
Israel is rejecting a new report commissioned by the UN finding it's committed genocide. The 22-year-old suspect in Charlie Kirk's murder expected to appear virtually in a Utah courtroom this afternoon. CBS's Anna Schechter.
The purpose of the hearing today, according to officials, is to inform the suspect of the charges against him.
Concerns over toxic danger on planes. CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
Smoke or fume events happen on airliners at a rate of more than three a day, according to a CBS News review of FAA incident reports.
Review finds Airbus the worst offender. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. A group of legislators gathered in Tolma late last week to discuss expanding rail services between Minneapolis and Chicago. Tolma Mayor Paul Dwyer said the group discussed both cargo and passenger rail, with the focus being more on increasing the ability to move people.
The focus was on passenger rail mostly. There was people from Fort McCoy who were very supportive of rail service because that's how they're looking at moving a lot of their troops now.
Fort McCoy is the largest military base in the state, and Tolma sits between Fort McCoy and the Air National Guard base just a few miles to the east.
So this is huge for Tolma, being right between two major military installations, being Volk Field in Camp Douglas and Fort McCoy at Sparta.
Tolma had been selected to receive grant funds from the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act back in 2009. That project was suspended in 2010 by former Governor Jim Doyle before he left office.
If this rail project goes through this time, I think it can be a great catalyst for being able to promote our downtown, bring more people into our downtown. We've seen other communities that have benefited from, you know, more rail activity in their community.
That's Tina Thompson. She's president and CEO of the Tolma Chamber of Commerce and Visitor Center.
The nice thing about our downtown being so close to the Amtrak station is that it makes it walkable. Everything is within, all of our shops are within like a mile.
The alternative of relying on a car for transportation is something Stevens Point representative Vinnie Moresi is on board for. He told the Wisconsin Examiner he would like to see rail service connecting Stevens Point and other central Wisconsin communities to other major cities already on the route. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
Brewers baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers open a three-game series tonight against the Los Angeles Angels at American Family Field. Milwaukee with a five-game lead over the Cubs in the NL Central. The Angels are in last place in the American League West, 13 games behind the Mariners. NFL, Matt LaFleur says the Packers' 10 penalties last Thursday night were far too many.
We went into the game, we knew that the penalties were going to be a big part of the game, and we had far too many. So, obviously, the first drive, it negated a touchdown. And then we had pre-snap penalties. You don't want any of those. We had a couple pre-snap penalties. We had a couple penalties on special teams that really played a big impact on field position.
The Packers play the Browns in Cleveland on Sunday. The Minnesota Vikings will be without their quarterback, J.J. McCarthy, the next 2 to 4 weeks. McCarthy suffering a high ankle sprain during their loss to the Falcons on Sunday night. Carson Wentz will take over at quarterback. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 97.5 WFHR.
We have a slight chance of an isolated shower or thunderstorm today. Otherwise, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 80s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We're going to drop to 61 for a low. Tomorrow, another sunny, warm day with a high right around 85. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
From Eau Claire to Green Bay.
Oh, my goodness, a powerful run to the house.
Bengals and Milwaukee to Madison.
Under duress, and it's a safety.
The tradition of Badger football lives here.
Touchdown, Wisconsin!
Join us Saturday. It's the Big Ten opener against the Maryland Terrapins. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m.
Now we'll get rolling.
On your home for Wisconsin football.
Looking pressured and sacked.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
Don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we discuss the rise in death by suicide rates in Wisconsin and try to look into what the cause and the solution is. Also, the Brewers are back in action. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's a Tuesday morning, September 16th, 2025, 6:06 in the morning. A beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening, across the Civic Media Radio Network, on social media, by app, podcast. Nice to have you here getting this Tuesday underway. A Tuesday that started mostly dry across most of Wisconsin, but in the past hour or so, some showers and I'm sure some rumbles of thunder started up this morning. Brittany Merlot will be around in an hour, but right now they've got an area of showers and thunderstorms that have popped up, stretching from Stanley to Ladysmith to Phillips. There's another area around Mauston, another area just north of Nisida. Pretty much just in line with what Brittany was forecasting, saying that there would be some early showers or storms in north central Wisconsin this morning. But then she says it's going to be sunny and summery everywhere as the day goes on, with highs in the 80s and a southeast wind at about 10 miles an hour, and plenty more details coming up from her later this morning. I got a question for you. Who gets to determine if something you say is protected by the First Amendment? And should it be politicians, especially potentially unstable politicians ruled by emotion in the wake of a political act of violence? I have some thoughts on this that I'm going to share around 6:22 by my calculations, 15 minutes from now. Naturally, it ties into Congressman Derek Van Orden's still ongoing quest to use his official office to punish people he doesn't like, even threatening to defund one of the biggest cities in his congressional district. How's that for representation? Well, to that end, coming up 1 hour from now, Eau Claire City Council President Emily Berge will be with us. She's also a candidate for Congress who got into the race in part because she was tired of her congressman ignoring or even trashing her hometown. She's got thoughts on what's been happening with him recently. Also, to hear the Speaker of the House tell it Republicans have no interest in working with Democrats to reach a budget deal and avoid a government shutdown, even though GOP members can't agree amongst themselves how to write a budget. Democrats are demanding that Republicans dismantle a health care cost bomb that's going to skyrocket health insurance premiums. But Speaker Mike Johnson seems content to watch families endure health care sticker shock. We're going to talk to Courier Newsroom's Cam Stevenson in our 8 o'clock hour, live from Capitol Hill. And at 8:30, we'll visit with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area with the latest on the Wisconsin governor's race, what with Kelderoy's getting in the race yesterday. All right, we've passed along the forecast. The Brewers, they were off. The Packers didn't play either, but they sure seem to be in the news for one good reason. So let's bring in Parker Olson, who produces everything down in Madison Studio A2 for us. Mr. Olson, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good, Pat. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good. You know, probably
probably not as good as the people at, you know, Amazon Prime or or the Green Bay Packers or CBS, because I guess for the second week in a row now, the Packers have helped set ratings records.
Wow.
So, I mean, we are America's team. I mean, we've known that. You can't let Dallas, you know, you don't want to hurt their fifis, so you let them, you know, keep the moniker, but we know. According to Drake Bentley, an article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, the Packers Commanders game was the most watched Thursday night football game on Amazon Prime ever.
Wow.
Nielsen reporting an average of 17.7 million viewers, a peak of 20 million viewers watching the Packers beat Washington 27-18. And by the way, the previous all-time high for Amazon Prime was also a Packer game last December against the Lions. And like I said, it was the second week in a row the Packers gave a network historic viewership ratings. CBS says that the season opener, Packers against Detroit, that was their most watched week one game since 1998.
Cool.
I mean, that's wow. Pre-Parker.
You've heard of
BC, you know, this isn't BC. This is PP. This is pre-Parker that, you know, we were setting those kinds of ratings. But the Packers do that.
The Packers are good. So there's a lot of hype with Micah Parsons. Come on. You gotta watch
him. Tony puts on YouTube, just imagine the ratings when the Packers play the Cowboys after this next preseason game versus the Browns. Tony, it's not a preseason game against Cleveland. He'll be talking like that. Talk big. And then when things go haywire.
My uncle is a Browns fan. I have to talk a little bit of smack when we play the Browns. It's just how it works.
There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with talking a little smack here. Of course, that game against the Browns will be next Sunday at noon on several Civic Media stations. You can check out the website for that. Brewers were off yesterday. They are taking on the Los Angeles Angels. The Los Angeles Angels, again, for those who don't speak Spanish, Parker translates into...
The Angels.
Yes, thank you very much. Coverage begins at 6:05 on some stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. These days now, again, the Brewers had that 19 games and 18 day stretch, and I don't, you know, you don't want that. You want the team to have some days off.
Yeah.
But I got to admit, those off days sometimes are on a Thursday, sometimes they're on a Monday. Yeah. I kind of wander around the house here, and I'm like,
what do I do now?
What do I do? It's like, I mean, we do watch things on TV. So what we ended up doing was we watched the second half of the Emmys because, of course, we can't stay up that late to see the whole thing. Okay. So even though there was a bit of a spoiler alert, shall we say, on, you know, who was going to get the awards, we still wanted to see it. Sure. We wanted to see how Nate Bargatze got through the whole conundrum of, you know, taking money away from the Boys and Girls Club if people went over their allotted time for their speeches.
Yeah.
Which I have to say, I agree with the critics. When I first heard about it, I thought that's unique.
Yeah.
But it started to feel like, you know, just going back to the same well over and over again. And
every joke
was starting to wear out its welcome, because you could see people wanted to say more, be more thankful. But of course, they were feeling the pressure of the time.
Yeah.
Other people did not feel that pressure at all. Don't you love those speeches where it's like, wow, they really don't care if the orchestra tries to play them off. They are just going to talk and talk.
I can't remember who it was. There was some Hall of Fame speech. I want to say it was a football player, but I'm not positive. It might have been baseball. Oh, I don't remember.
Who was that? Yes. But
somebody went like ridiculously over, and it was like, oh my God.
Yeah. They only get that microphone that one time, and you would have to literally wrestle it out of their hands. And that's why when we set our DVR, and it always, you know, comes up with this little thing. Now, this is a live event. Do you want to add an extra half hour? And you want to add an extra hour? Like, yes, add the extra half hour, because there's nothing like recording something and then boom, it runs out and it's not done.
I'm sorry, Pat. We have to backtrack to this. Do you still use a VCR?
No, a DVR.
Or DVR, sorry.
Yeah.
You still use that?
Yeah. Oh, not just any DVR. Again, keep in mind, I'm a man in my 60s. It's a TiVo, which we got back in 1999. One of the original
DVRs. We got that with a little, it makes a little bloop sound for everything. So we don't talk about, you know, sometimes you freeze a program and that way when you run it back a little bit later on, you can skip through the commercial breaks.
Yeah.
We don't even call them commercial breaks. We call them bloops, because then you hit your little fast forward button and it goes bloop, 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 and takes you right through all the commercials. So yes, we have a DVR. Why do you ask?
I just don't know anyone who uses a DVR anymore.
I don't know. Tony's right there on YouTube saying TiVo is a modern marvel. Thank you, Tony. Well, thank you. I mean, I get it. If you're streaming, yeah, you can stop, you can pause and all that. But yeah, if it's a live show on one of the networks or something, how do you watch it otherwise?
I guess I don't. I guess that's all I got to it. We've been streaming for a while now, so I don't. I mean, you can record stuff, but that's through the streaming service, not.
Okay, but again, network TV. Let's say the Super Bowl is on CBS or something like that, and
yeah,
turns out you got to go run this errand, and you'll be back an hour later, so you're going to watch it then. You're just going to miss that hour. You have no way of recording something you really want to see.
You can record it. Like we have Hulu. Like you can record it on Hulu.
Okay, but again, it's not on Hulu. It's actual television.
Yeah, you know, we have Hulu
over
Live.
The air.
We have live TV through Hulu, so we could.
Okay.
The actual air, that's not a thing in my house anymore, I don't think.
It isn't, is it, for you?
No, yeah. It's a vacuum.
It's all going to come through the tubes of the internets, and that's the only way that it works out. All right. I understand. So, yeah, it's a DVR. Digital video recorder, which again, for me, like Tony, it's a modern marvel, because I remember having to record or set a time to record on the VCR, and the VCRs, the video cassette recorders, had these tiny little buttons, or if you're using the remote, you maybe had to push a button over and over again. Like you want to record something at 12 o'clock. So you have to hit it. It says one, hit the button two, hit the button three, hit the button four, hit the button five, hit the button six. And God forbid it's at 6:30.
Yeah. Because
now you move to the little cursor over, and it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way down to 6:30. Thank goodness we don't record. There's no shows on at 6:50, you know. But I mean, this is I never really considered my life to be a struggle, but you're making it sound like I was living in Little House on the Prairie in a sod hut.
I mean,
when it comes to having to record TV shows,
I understand. Like, we have a DVR still, but I don't think it's been used since I was a child.
Well, look, on the text line, Scott and Madison is setting the record straight. Recording Hulu Live is DVR. I mean, that is what you're doing. It's a digital video recorder.
I mean, yeah, I guess I just think of it more as like DVR. I think of as the physical thing.
Yes, and ours is a physical thing. There's,
yes, I don't still have a
tangible things. Sometimes I've actually touched a newspaper, unlike you. You know, sometimes you have to touch the things that are there.
I touched them. I just didn't buy them.
Okay. One other note about the Packers being really good for ratings. Turns out they're good for views, too. We got our weekly report on the most watched stories on Up North News, the most engaged stories, and Our highest rated TikTok video of the past week was simply what's new on the Lambeau Field menu. Remember we went through all those foods that are new at Lambeau Field? Yeah, 100,000 views, more than 500 shares on there, because people love their Packers and people love their food. And you start throwing little, you know, Wisconsin ties into that food with little brats and the other things that we were talking about recently. People like to share that stuff.
Yeah.
Let's see. Stuff. Also, our most watched, most engaged story on Facebook of the past week was about a Madison company working on a blood test that detects cancers earlier, and that got 327,000 views for a story that was originally reported by the Wisconsin State Journal that we were telling people about. And then over on Instagram, looks like one of our highest posts of the past few days was pretty recent. It was the first post where we noticed that while other leaders were trying to tone down the confrontational outbursts after the Charlie Kirk murder, Congressman Derek Van Orden was just getting warmed up. He was just starting to fan the flames of violent rhetoric and political threats. And that got 35,000 views of people who were looking at that saying, should a member of Congress really be doing that? And he still is. And we're going to talk about it in just a moment. First, from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Life insurance. Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance. But if you weren't there, who would pay the mortgage and other bills? With Ethos, you could be covered in 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Ethos, fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as a dollar a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at ethos.com/music. That's ethos.com/music.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
All right, a reminder, we have moved our history lesson from 6:50 in the morning to 6:35. And so Tony's right there with us for the time change, noting, Parker, I'll set my DVR. So setting his DVR for the history lesson coming up at 6:35 today. We've can't got the up. Most on the ball listeners out there. But first, we've got to get back to current events, which are unfortunately a little bit more serious. Before we get to Congressman Derek Van Orden taking the next step toward politicians policing your free speech, let's see where he's getting some of his ideas. For example, from the Vice President of the United States, who on Monday guest hosted Charlie Kirk's former radio show. From his government office, and the Vice President used the show to threaten to bring the resources of the United States government down on anyone who they accuse of harboring views that they consider to be worthy of infringing. All across the Trump administration, cabinet secretaries and federal department heads are spending their time and your tax dollars to identify organizations that they believe fund or support violence against conservatives. The goal, they told the New York Times, was to categorize left-wing activity that led to violence as domestic terrorism, an escalation that critics say could lay the groundwork for crushing anti-conservative dissent more broadly. Of course, this current government is without many of the men and women who had been investigating actual domestic terrorism. They've been let go or they've been reassigned to immigration duty, since the White House didn't like the reality that the bulk of the work that was being done to keep America safe was to keep America safe from far-right groups. From ProPublica, they write, the White House is redirecting counterterrorism personnel and funds toward a sweeping deportation campaign, claiming the southern border is the greatest domestic security threat facing the country. There have been millions in budget cuts that have gutted terrorism-related law enforcement training and shut down studies studying the frequency of attacks. It's all part of a swing in focus that started with the president's clemency for those who stormed the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. In other words, it's the Trump White House that's asleep at the switch when it comes to protecting the country, but now that one of their own has been a victim, the focus isn't on public safety, but on partisan vengeance. One of Trump's cabinet secretaries, Sean Duffy, is relishing this chance to play Big Brother. I mean the government form of Big Brother, not the reality series Big Brother, but he probably wishes he could have. Duffy, of course, was on road rules, which is why Donald Trump thought he was qualified to be the United States Secretary of Transportation. Anyway, Duffy not only celebrated recent discipline against pilots who used their free speech to comment on the Charlie Kirk murder, he made the big government leap to equating bad thoughts with bad performance, saying of the airlines, quote, any company responsible for the safety of the traveling public cannot tolerate that behavior. That behavior, of course, again, being free speech. But in their mind, having a contrary opinion makes you dangerous at your job. But of course, that's how Duffy got his job in the first place. Recall what Trump said in nominating Duffy, that he was going to, quote, make our skies safe again by eliminating DEI for pilots and air traffic controllers. In other words, if any women or Black Americans were pilots or air traffic controllers in Trump's view, they were less qualified. Now, where have I heard that before? Oh, yeah, Charlie Kirk, January 23rd, 2024. Quote, if I see a Black pilot, I'm going to be like, boy, I hope he's qualified. So if having the wrong skin color makes you a dangerous pilot in the minds of Donald Trump and his cabinet, why wouldn't having political opinions you don't like also make you dangerous? That's some big government stuff right there, and that takes us back to Congressman Van Orden. It's one thing to tweet about using the government to harass or penalize someone for their thoughts and opinions. It's another to introduce a bill to actually do that. You know who introduced a bill to do that on Monday? Derek Van Orden. His office announced a new bill that would prohibit federal funds from going to entities employing those who condone and celebrate political violence and domestic terrorism. And if that sounds okay to you, let me ask you this. Whose job is it to determine if someone is, quote, condoning political violence, and who gets to decide what crosses the line into political violence? After all, we've lost track of the number of times Derek Van Orden, a member of Congress, has referred to Democrats as, quote, domestic terrorists. Would he introduce that kind of a bill today if Democrats were the ones in charge? I mean, think back to the days of Senator Barack Obama, Senator Hillary Clinton, Senator Ted Kennedy. If back then any of them said they wanted this kind of law, Republicans would be talking about burning down the Capitol and lashing out at so-called thought police. But of course, we know they've already done a dress rehearsal for burning down the Capitol, and now they're the ones who want the thought police enshrined into law. With any luck, this whole episode eventually simmers down. At the moment, we hope it's just emotional flailing from emotional men like Van Orden and Duffy and Vance and Trump. Their feelings get hurt so easily and they lash out so hard. And it's understandable to be hurt when someone close to you is murdered. Ask any parent who's lost a child in a school shooting as they watch politicians do nothing about the real world. So let's get back to the real world and what Van Orden and others should be working on. One, we are closing in on the possibility of a government shutdown. Two, we are closing in on a date when a bunch of Americans are going to see their health insurance premiums skyrocket if the Affordable Care Act supports aren't renewed. Three, we're about to see farmers in a world of hurt because the crops are going to come in and there's no place to put everything that China isn't buying. Grocery prices are still out of hand. The job market is getting softer. And the people who promised to focus like a laser on making things affordable are busy reading your social media posts and deciding if you should be punished. Do not let them intimidate or silence you. You are allowed to have opinions. You have that freedom. Don't take that away from yourself. That's what Derek Van Orden and J.D. Vance and others actually want. They want the intimidation and self-censorship. Don't let it happen to you, because it sure as hell ain't happening over here. Today's history lesson after this. You're up north.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
Creating a tool that connects existing farmers with those that want to farm next. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Tuesday. FarmLink, a new proposal being pitched at the state capitol. We'll tell you about it next.
How does a soybean become a Dairyland seed difference maker? It starts in the labs of Corteva Agriscience, where Enlist E3 technology is designed to fight the toughest weeds for the greatest yield potential. Then it's hand-selected by Dairyland seed agronomists to be the ideal fit for Midwestern soils and conditions. Finally, it's tested on acres by farmers like you to ensure it's proven to outperform. It's a long road, but the only way to make a difference. Find your soybean difference maker at DairylandSeedSoybeans.com.
Wisconsin State Representative Clint Moses is proposing a new idea that would require the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection to launch a Farmland Link program. He says the idea came from a statewide need to both find farmland and keep that land in agriculture.
What it is the best way to compare it, it's similar to like what realtors have with the MLS listings, but this would create a database that would be completely free for people to access. So a website that they could go to, a non-biased website that people could just post, you know, ag land they've got for sale, and others could go on there and find it. But it does have to be zoned agriculture. So that is one thing that would limit it. You know, as far as you ask about policing, you could not have like residential or industrial zoned land on this. It would be just for land that is zoned agricultural use.
That's Wisconsin State Representative Clint Moses, who is also a vice chair of the Assembly Agriculture Committee. The proposal in the state legislature is designed to guide Wisconsin's farming future. He said the bill would ask that the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection administer the FarmLink program through its Wisconsin Farm Center.
From sugar beet fields to dairy facilities, producers count on an operating line of credit from Ag Country Farm Credit Services to help make their operations more profitable. With multi-year commitment options, digital tools and remote deposit, and the ability to only borrow what you need when you need it, our operating line of credit makes financing your needs easier. Visit agcountry.com/lineofcredit or call 800-450-9858 to learn more. Terms apply. See website for details.
And the harvest continues to roll on in Wisconsin. The latest update from the Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service shows that now we've got about 22% of our corn silage harvested as of Sunday. Potatoes, about 55% complete. Fourth cutting of alfalfa, 77% done. And pasture condition ratings, 68% good to excellent. That is down 2 percentage points in 1 week's time. That's a quick update on food and farming news on a Tuesday. I'm Pam Yonke.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
We have a slight chance of an isolated shower or thunderstorm today. Otherwise, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 80s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We're going to drop to 61 for a low. Tomorrow, another sunny, warm day with a high right around 85. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 58.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously. The best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion,
you're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
This week, we sit down with Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski, and she talks about her run for Lieutenant Governor.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This was the number one song this day in 1972. I figured we better play the song before it's made illegal because it's allegedly divisive. So that was Three Dog Night, the number one song this day 53 years ago, 1972. On this day in 1620, the Pilgrims set sail from Plymouth, England in the Mayflower. About 102 passengers, about two dozen crew seeking a fresh start in a new world. It would be a two-month journey that took them to present-day Massachusetts. We mentioned yesterday that Hispanic.
You can do it.
Forgot heritage.
There you go.
With the word heritage, I had culture back there. Hispanic Heritage Month started yesterday, and that is because it marked Independence Day for several Central American countries. And coincidentally, today Mexico began its 11-year fight for independence from Spain on this day in 1810. It would take 11 years, but would finally happen for Mexico. All right, let's get to some birthdays here. Flo Rida, who played the Northern Wisconsin State Fair not that long ago, has a birthday today and is 46 years old.
Sometimes I get a good feeling, yeah. I get a feeling that I never had before.
Anyway, that's a 2011 song that got its foundation in a 1962 song. Here's the original, the start of the original, by Etta James.
Sometimes I get a good feeling, yeah.
Yeah.
I get a feeling that I never, 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 never had before. No, no.
Yeah.
And then the song gets a little bit more up-tempo from there. But every time I'd hear that, I'm like, I know I've heard that where someplace before. And you have to go back to 1962. But yeah, there it is.
I did not know about that. I can't believe how carbon copy that is.
Yes. Tony, nothing says Northern Wisconsin like Flo Rida. Yeah, but Flo Rida then also played, what, something over in like Green Bay or Oshkosh, something like that.
Somebody
knows where to make the money.
They're so Idea Fest on Friday. I don't know if you were listening at all, Pat, but Minnesota Governor Tim Walz was talking, and he was saying how he got to meet Flo Rida.
Okay.
Oh wait, no, was it him?
I don't know.
Oh god,
I wasn't listening.
I don't remember anymore. There was a story about Flo Rida.
Not just me. It's Hispanic Heritage Month, by the way. Let's do another birthday here. Singer Mark Anthony is 57 today. All right, I got some Milwaukee baseball notes here. Robin Yount, kid, is 70 years old today. That's going to date some folks. Robin Yount, happy birthday. Happy 70th. There was a no-hitter thrown at County Stadium in Milwaukee on this day in 1960, and that would be Milwaukee Braves future Hall of Fame pitcher Warren Spahn, who no-hit the Philadelphia Phillies 4-0 at County Stadium this day 65 years ago. And on this day in 1996, Paul Molitor joined the 3,000 Hit Club. The Brewers legend was with the Minnesota Twins at the time, but Paul Molitor hitting number 3,000 on this day 29 years ago. On this day in 1984, we're back to doing TV series premieres. And this brand new show called Miami Vice made its debut with a two-hour episode that included a scene that featured a Phil Collins hit that everybody now associates with Miami Vice. You couldn't resist, could you? You could not resist playing some air drums. Parker couldn't resist.
Yeah.
You have to. You just have to. It's mandatory. Again, Miami Vice making its debut in 1984. Story I've told before. That was when we were engaged planning a wedding. And there was a Miami Vice line of tuxedos. And, of course, in Miami Vice, everybody wore these different very bright pastel colors.
Yeah.
And so instead of, like, black tuxes, your groomsmen could be in could basically look like a rainbow. There was like a pastel blue, yellow, orange, a key lime green.
Yeah.
We threatened our friends with going with the Miami Vice theme for the wedding, but instead we went for classy.
Oh.
The royal blue and the charcoal tux.
How
and of course huge shoulders, because that's what we wore in the 80s. Yeah. Shoulder pads for everybody.
How closely did this resemble the Miami Vice tuxes? How closely did that resemble the Dumb and Dumber?
it was very much in that way. There weren't necessarily the ruffled shirts or the top hats, although I suppose you could have got those optional. But yes, it was very, very similar to Dumb and Dumber. But that's, again, that was the style at the time, Miami Vice. If you've ever shopped at a JCPenney, that's a real person. His name was James Cash Penny. He was born this day in 1875. He passed away in 1971 at the age of 95 and made a lot of pennies in his day. Yes, Parker.
His name was not Cash Penny.
Yes, James Cash Penny.
No
Instead
way.
Of Johnny Cash, he was Jimmy Cash Penny.
That's crazy. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Let's see. So what else? We got General Motors was founded this day in 1908. Let's go to 1979, where the Sugar Hill Gang released a song that would become the first rap song to ever chart on the Billboard Hot 100.
I said a hip. The hippie to the hip, hip hoppy. You don't stop the rocker to the bang bang boogie. Say up, jump the boogie to the rhythm of the boogie to beat.
Now, you ever see videos on TikTok where people are hearing a song for the first time in a genre that they normally do not listen to? And at first, you're kind of looking at each other like, what is this?
You're allowed
what
do we to think do this? Of this?
And then they kind of get into it. That was pretty much everybody, at least in the American Midwest, in 1979. Yeah. As this comes on, and you're just like, they're not really singing. They're like talking really fast.
Yeah.
They're just, but then you start moving your shoulders, and it's like, yeah, but the groove is pretty good here. So it was a revelation at the time.
I never thought of it as like an entire region of America went, oh. Huh?
Oh, yeah. Oh, without a doubt. We're like, huh. Well, what do we think of this?
Yeah, I suppose.
And it grows on you. Yes, it does. All right. That was 1979. In 1978, Boston released their second album, Don't Look Back. The title track would be a big hit, and the album would hit number one. On this day in 1977, I found this one yesterday. I didn't realize we had to go this far back for the Talking Heads. But in 1977, Sire Records released Talking Heads 77, the debut studio album by a new band called the Talking Heads. It's the one that featured their single, Psycho Killer. I did not know it was that old of an album, but it is from 1977. Singer Richard Marx is 62 years old today. Singer Nick Jonas is 33 years old today. On this day in the year 2000, Madonna went to number one with the song Music. This was her first number one since 1995. It was her 12th number one overall. And near as we can tell, it's her most recent one. I don't want to say it's her last number one. She could do it again. But her most recent number one was this day 25 years ago.
I would not have thought it was that long.
Yeah, I know. On this day in 1965, there was a British singer named Davy Jones, and he was not the guy in the Monkees, and he did not want to be confused for the Davy Jones that was in the Monkees. So this guy, whose name also was Davy Jones, changed his stage name 60 years ago today, this day in 1965, to David Bowie. And the rest is history. Those of you folks who watch Judge Judy, which I never really got into to that much, but that show premiered this day in 1996.
Really?
Yeah. Well, because before that, about the only court show out there was something called The People's Court with Judge Wapner, you know, a kindly older fella.
Yeah.
And it worked just fine, you know, as a court show. And then just this Judge Judy, what's her last name? Shineland, said, hey, why don't we spice this up a bit? Why don't we kick this up a notch and start shouting at the people who come into her courtroom and calling them stupid? And, you know, what's going to happen on American TV? We're going to eat that up. Yeah. Oh, we love insults. We love confrontation. So, yeah, that's where we are. Let's note that there is a very big birthday from 100 years ago today. He is not still with us. What a centennial celebration it would be. B.B. King was born this day 100 years ago.
When you're dead, you die. So let the good time roll.
That's that guy. Thankfully, music will always be a part of our lives. This is National Cinnamon Raisin Bread Day. Where are we on cinnamon raisin bread?
Cinnamon. Those are two. Actually, those are three good things. Cinnamon, raisin, and bread. All three great things together. I think that could be good.
Wait.
Uh-oh.
Have you never had cinnamon raisin bread or cinnamon raisin toast?
Not that I remember. Oh, boy.
My goodness. There are times I wonder, where did the alien ship land and let you off? This is amazing. Never had cinnamon raisin toast. What did they feed you? Just the water that you drink all the time? And the fruit roll-ups?
Just the water, the fruit roll-ups, wow. And turkey and cheese sandwiches.
The turkey and cheese sandwiches, of course. How about Play-Doh? This is National Play-Doh Day.
Play-Doh.
Did you play with Play-Doh as a kid?
Oh, yeah, I
did
ate Play-Doh.
Did you eat the Play-Doh as a kid because they wouldn't give you any good food or what?
No, I didn't eat the Play-Doh.
A couple of occupations are celebrated today. This is World Barber Day. I have a great barber, Dan the Barber Man in Eau Claire. Been seeing him for 30 years, and it's wonderful to have a good, reliable barber and affordable. May I hasten to add as well, you know what a haircut costs these days at other places?
Too much,
yes. And this is also IT Professionals Day, and we really want to thank the IT professionals up there. Well, the ones who want to be helpful. Sometimes you call and it was just like, you know, you get dismissed or treated like you're dumb, but, you know, a good IT person, man or woman, is worth their weight in computer chips.
Shout out basically to Civic Media Engineering team.
Oh my goodness. Yes. When you're growing a radio network, there are some technical difficulties now and then. And you really appreciate a good IT person who can tell you who can basically keep you on the air. At some point I was just gonna stop talking and make the joke about IT and when things don't work. And I realized that doesn't really translate well on live radio, does it? Coming up, we'll be talking to Eau Claire City Council President Emily Berge. She's also a candidate for Congress and has some thoughts on her congressman, Derek Van Orden, now threatening to cut federal funding to the city of Eau Claire because he doesn't like what some city council members have posted online. That's all ahead. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
When your name's on the paint job, your primer better hold up.
Painter's Trust Kills Primers for serious adhesion, stain blocking, and a finish that lasts. Now, the full Kills lineup is available exclusively at the Home Depot. Need it fast? Get same day or next day delivery, or order online and pick it up in store. Kills Primers. Pro results. Faster. The Home Depot. If you're a pro, you know.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
My name is Chuck Collins. I'm the great-grandson of the meatpacker Oscar Mayer and a member of the Patriotic Millionaires, a collection of wealthy Americans who share a profound concern about the dangers of concentrated wealth and power in America. Now, the fact is, you may not care how much money another person has, but you likely do care how much power another person has, especially if they're using that power to rig the rules of the economy to make themselves richer and you poorer. You see, there is a point where money is no longer money, it's power. And when rich people use their money to drown out the voices of everyday people, it threatens the safety and security of us all. Patriotic millionaires don't want to live in a country with a few extremely rich people controlling everything, leaving millions of people struggling to just get by. Luckily, we have a solution. Tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich. I'm Chuck Collins. I'm a patriotic millionaire, and I approve this message.
You can't escape a traffic jam. Know what else you can't escape? Seasonal allergies. And you might think you can avoid that coffee stain until... Oh, really? You can't escape a lot of things in life, but you can escape prediabetes. Prediabetes captures 1 in 3 adults. There are usually no signs of prediabetes. In fact, most people don't even know they have it. But with early diagnosis, you can change the outcome and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. Take action by taking the 1-minute risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. You might not be able to escape having this song stuck in your head, but you can escape prediabetes. Go to doihaveprediabetes.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Rapids Report for this Monday, September 15th, 2025, brought to you by Crockett Septic. A little bit different format right now. I am Seth, your temporary host for this, for a very good reason, because right now we're going to be talking to the director and one of the stars of the upcoming WRCT production of On Golden Pond. So, first of all, sir, if you could please introduce yourself to this audience who may have never heard you before.
Hello, James here. Director of On Golden Pond. Thank you so much for joining us, everyone.
Yes.
And I am Aaliyah Arroyo. I am one of the stars of On Golden Pond, apparently.
Yes.
Yes, you are.
Yes, you are. If you didn't know it, now you are. So we're going to go into a little bit about the plot of the show, and we're going to talk to the director and his actor here, talk about the process a little bit, and any little bits they want to add in about how much fun they've been having, because we know that they've been having an enjoyable time. So, James, we'll go to you first. And if you could give us a little synopsis about the plot of the show.
I want to make sure to get this right. I'm actually reading from the back of the script for this a little bit. This is a love story of Ethel and Norman Thayer, who are returning to their summer home on Golden Pond for their 48th year. He is a retired professor nearing 80 with a heart palpitations and a failing memory, but still a tart-tongued, observant, and eager for life as ever. Ethel, 10 years younger and the perfect foil for Norman, delights in all these small things in life. Their middle-aged daughter and her dentist fiancé join them, along with their possible grandchild and everything. And you also get the character Charlie involved in this, the local mailman and local character. All that said, in the nice synopsis of the play, but there is so much missing from that, and so much right. that I think is important with this show. It's an American classic. This is one of our ones that we hold up in this for us, and that we are great playwrights. Hey, we have great theater. It has so many pulls to it regarding life and aging and dementia and Alzheimer's, so many different topics there. And I think the love story part of it is interesting and a good note, but not just your traditional love story of man and partner, woman and man and all these things, but so much of our love life, our love relationship with, you know, new family members or our love of life in general, I think really comes across in this play, and it's incredibly funny.
And that's the part you want to put in there, because it's not just a drama. There's very dramatic parts to it, of course, but it's also got some great comedy in it as well. So we'll bring Aaliyah in here, and if you want to talk a little bit about your character and what your role in the show is.
Yeah, so I play the character of Chelsea Thayer in On Golden Pond, and I am playing the middle-aged daughter of the elderly couple, so aptly cast, as I do happen to be a middle-aged daughter of an older couple of people.
Complete typecasting.
Yeah. Completely typecasting. And no, it's just been a really enjoyable experience. You know, I think even more to kind of add to the plot lines without spoiling it, you know, it's a lot about the love story of the elderly couple, but it's also kind of the love story between child and parents. And, you know, there's times in your life where your parents are your heroes. There's times in your life where you see the flaws in your parents. And this is very much that intersection of seeing your parents age and being able to find a new love and respect for them in their golden years, no pun intended. But also, it's also about blending families as well. Chelsea's character meets a new person, a new love in her life, and she welcomes a child into her life that wasn't her own child. And personal experience, I've done the same thing in my own life as well. So it's been really fun to connect to that, but also connect to being a middle-aged person and being able to play these different relationships with different people, different younger people, different older people. So it's been a really, really interesting time and part to play.
Yeah, and if you've been to WRCT recently, well, Leah's been in many of the recent productions of that, but I think it's a little different from what you've been doing. Most of the characters you've been playing recently, this one's a little different for you.
Definitely. Prior to randomly trying out for a play last August, I had not been in a play, I jokingly say, since the 1900s when I was in high school and college. And me and my husband tried out for a play last August, and then subsequently were cast in every single play in the last season. And I didn't intend on actually, I was going to take a break, and I wasn't actually even going to audition for this one. And I was like, eh, what the heck? And James saw something in me that I didn't even know I was capable of. So I'm very grateful for that.
Nice.
I had never done a drama before. So this is a stretch. And now my children at home, who are teenagers and preteens, are telling me, okay, Mom, the next thing you have to do is play a villain. So I'm going to need the board of the WRCT to come up with a juicy villain for me to play in the future.
Oh, that is fantastic. James, this is your first directorial experience since you were very young. So this is kind of a new thing for you. So, you know, I think a lot of people out there know this is a very famous play, and it became a very popular and very successful movie back in the 1980s. So when you were approaching, you know, how you're going to do this, how are you going to not only kind of maybe take something from the other productions, maybe from the movie, but how do you make it also your own movie or your own show?
I normally, especially with as an actor, I'll approach a character that has been done a bunch of times, and I'll watch it after. I don't want to be influenced by their performance, their work. I don't want to try to copy or any of those dangers that we worry about as actors. And lots of people are like that with some things. Like when I played Sherlock, well, I grew up with Sherlock. He's been a part of literally my whole life. So I kind of went the other direction with it, and it welcomed the influence and impressions and everything, and tried to make it a part of my own creation of him. I felt that way with this, where I've watched this play. You know, I've seen the movie since I was a little kid. I knew this one inside and out. Mm-hmm. It was a favorite of my Nana and Papa's, who I watched a lot of movies with growing up.
Okay.
But when I thought about it, I was like, well, oh, I watched this with my grandmother and grandfather, my mom's parents as well. And I think it's the only movie or only bit of entertainment like that where I've watched it with all four of my grandparents.
Wow.
And in losing my four grandparents in recent years and everything, it got me to like not only approach this play differently, but at times, and I don't mean this in a wishy-washy way or in any kind of like weird way or anything, but for me, who doesn't experience this kind of stuff very often, I was surprised by how many times I felt like it wasn't my hands on the wheel. How many times I felt like I felt an influence from one of them directing me and pushing me in one direction or another.
You were listening to The Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Israel's begun an expanded ground invasion in Gaza City, the goal of wiping out Hamas and getting the hostages back. Secretary of State Marco Rubio.
We think we have a very short window of time in which a deal could happen. We don't have months anymore. And we probably have days and maybe a few weeks, so it's a key moment.
New UN report accuses Israel of committing genocide. The 22-year-old suspect in Charlie Kirk's murder is due in court in Utah. CBS's Carter Evans.
The alleged shooter is expected to make a virtual appearance in court from jail when those charges are filed today.
The Fed begins a crucial two-day policy meeting today. CBS's Jason Brooks.
Wall Street is expecting that the Fed will cut its benchmark lending rate for the first time in 2025 after pausing rates at all six meetings so far this year.
Fed Governor Lisa Cook will attend the meetings after a federal appeals court ruled President Trump cannot fire her. CBS News Brief.